Welcome to the Teacher's Toolkit for Literacy, the free podcast for motivated teachers and school leaders who want to inspire their students and school community in literacy learning. Make sure you subscribe to the show on your favourite podcast player. And for more amazing literacy resources, check out the show notes provided with every episode.
Hi, I'm Sharon, and I'm the host of a Teacher's Toolkit for Literacy. In every toolkit episode, we bring you specific resources, tools, strategies, tips, techniques to help you in your job as a teacher of literacy. Firstly, we acknowledge and pay our respects to the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians whose ancestral lands we gather on. We acknowledge the deep feelings of attachment and relationship of the Kaurna people to country, and we respect and value their past, present, and ongoing connection to the land and cultural beliefs.
Welcome to our wonderful podcast.
Oh, yes, keep the theme going.
Yes.
Lovely.
In every toolkit episode, we bring you specific resources, tools, strategies, tips, techniques to help you in your job as a teacher of literacy. It's all about helping you develop as a professional where you make the choices that affect you in your classroom for the betterment of your students. We hope to open some doors for you today. Welcome, newcomers. We love having you come on board with us on our podcast, and we love having our whole following of podcast listeners.
Yes, yeah. Thrilled with the connections that have been made over this last year. And I just love all the new professional relationships we have because of this, right around Australia and beyond.
If you don't get a chance to hear a podcast, they are, in fact, converted into blogs on our Q-Learning website. So you can read, usually a particular aspect of that podcast has been turned into a blog. So
yes, rather than all our chatty rambles.
Yeah, true. Speaking of chatty rambles, Sharon, what sort of week have we had, do you reckon?
Do I reckon? It's so Australian, isn't it? What kind of week do you reckon we've had?
I reckon.
Oh, do you know, I wonder, now that's setting me off on a track, like where does the word reckon?
Or reckoning.
I know it comes from reckoning, but I think it's very much in the Australian vernacular. Don't you think?
We can investigate. I feel like
it's, yes. Anyway, you know, it's always difficult not to go down that word etymology track, and because it's interesting and intriguing, and I can't stop myself from thinking about those things, which is actually what we want our students to be doing, is doing that inquiry and thinking and questioning and wondering. But
And so interesting that the other version of wreck has a W in front of it, and that's the wreck of a ship or whatever. And
why? Well, the wreck of the Hesperus, like I feel like I am sometimes.
So how did that W get in there? I mean, that's, you know.
Oh, you're just going on, you're very tangential, Phil.
Thank you. But chatty ramble.
Past week. Yes. Oh, big things. Oh, my goodness. Such big things in the past week, personally and professionally.
Yep.
I've had a very big birthday celebration. I've decided that it warrants 60 days of celebration, in fact. Not celebrating in the party type way, but celebrating in a reflective way about all the things that I am particularly grateful for, and taking some time to honour those, to honour more in my life than I sometimes allow myself to be aware of. That's a little bit philosophical, but
it was great having a barbecue with friends and
wonderful. And congratulations to me for my birthday, but congratulations to you, Phil, for pulling off yet another magnificent surprise and completely joyous event. One, the party. Two, the 3/4 of an hour before the party, walk-in of our daughter from Brisbane. Complete surprise to me. What a thrill for our family to be together, because it'd been many months since we've seen our daughter.
Yeah, and that's great. And the party featured a magician.
Yes, I know. It was wonderful. Yeah. It was such a treat. You're so good at all the relationship building and working on all of that. So very grateful.
And we hope we're developing a relationship with our podcast listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Well.
And speaking of other relationships, your work in the Adelaide Hills, Sharon.
This project work, the Be Brave suite of work that we're doing, has to be one of the strongest, most impactful professional relationships that has been a part of our lives for the last 2 years. So this last week we had the last of this year's workshops. I keep using that word wonderful because that's how we began, but in that real sense of the fullness of wonder, the professional learning, the learning between school sites, the learning together, the learning.
So Sharon, this was a wrap-up of seven workshops throughout the year with each of these groups, and some of the groups had principals in them, more principals than teachers.
Yes.
Other groups had more.
So Be Fearless has more principals but some teachers in them, and the Be Brave, which is the first year, you start with Be Brave and then move on to Be Fearless. But this year's Be Brave group has some principals but many more teachers. And you know what the powerful thing has been about that is that the principals in the Be Fearless group have got a lot of teachers in the Be Brave group. And so collectively there's a common language being built across a school. Those in the Be Brave, some schools have got three teachers in those workshops, and they have intentionally chosen a junior primary, middle primary, upper primary teacher, or the teacher has selected themselves, so that they are now helping to lead the literacy learning in their schools with their teams. And so when you've got leadership and teachers working and driving down and setting goals and really tracking and monitoring improvement and growth, and that there are these really rich learning cultures being built for the adults, so the leaders, the teachers in schools, as well as the students in the schools.
And just briefly, it's about pedagogy, it's about the Australian curriculum, it's about the literacy progressions, department documents. It's trying to bring all those together in a workable way so that they can really enact those
in
the classroom.
Not just workable, but really high impact way.
Working in the classroom so that there's a high impact of strategies being used.
Yes, high impact teaching, high impact learning. Mm. But really rich cultures of learning.
So what's been the feedback? Like, this was kind of the last session for the year out of the seven workshops. What's some of the feedback as you wrapped it up? You know, can you think of anybody or any interesting comments from people?
Oh, a few. Mm. So one I was going to actually refer to later, but I'll mention that now. And that was a number of teachers commenting on the discovery and seeing the effect of using tantalising texts with their students. By tantalising, we really mean high-quality literature that really tantalises the thinker, the listener, the reader,
and also
the
learner. Rich models of the English language.
Well, because of that, they've then seen the power of what we might call the rich exemplars. Mm-hmm. So rather than, you know, they've felt like they might have created exemplars for their students' writing, but the tantalising texts, that high-quality literature, has created what they are now calling the tantalising texts that students are writing, because it has so elevated student writing, because these are the exemplars. My saying always is, you know, we can only write as well as the language that sits upon our ear. I can remember Maddie, who we had on as an early career teacher earlier, or a few episodes ago.
Oh, right.
Quite a few.
Right at the start.
I loved the day when I walked into her school and she said, "I fully understand what a tantalising text is."
Oh, great.
You see children respond differently when it's tantalising. So we can choose text, but they respond because it's rich language, and they respond, "Oh, can I write like that? Oh, I love those words. I love the way the author has said that." There is an engagement. It tantalizes us as a listener and as a reader, so much so that we want to translate that into our own speaking, our own writing. Our own communication. So that was a big one.
Yep.
That was said more than once. A number of teachers and leaders reminded us about how the Be Brave suite of workshops and courses, we have intentionally put children at the centre. Children's learning and children's experiences and what we bring to children is what drives us as teachers. And when we put children at the centre, we want to find out about what is it that they need? What is it that we can do for them? What do we need to know more about? And so by putting children front and centre, I think that puts teachers front and centre. Because through the workshops, we've really been trying to build teachers' repertoires of strategies and techniques. And by that, I mean not what good writers and good readers do. That's putting children at the centre. That's saying we are letting you in on what good readers and writers do. And it's about them so that they can become the good reader and writer. But we've, through the course, really reminded people again about the power of read aloud, of shared reading, of students, the whole class having eyes on a text for us to learn how that text works.
So important.
And that in our writing, that we model writing, that we have interactive writing, that there would be shared writing. So all of those techniques and strategies are repertoire building, plus they are putting students in on the action, in on what it is to be a reader, a writer, a word worker. So that was another key piece. We believe good teaching is all about the teacher.
Can I just suspect that one of the comments might have been about how reading, writing and word work together?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, it was. Multiple times.
Right.
That how much people valued that we always talk about the integration,
yep,
and the linking, particularly in the Australian curriculum, of the strands, that language and literature and literacy are interwoven with each other, and that we learn any aspect of language or literature or literacy to help us as we are in the act of reading or writing. So all of those things, yes, that integration was
a big one.
Yeah, was a big part. This project is powerful in its collaborative nature. It isn't me planning these workshops in isolation. I have the absolute honour and privilege of working with a principal consultant, with an education director, with curriculum leads, and we intentionally create in response to those very schools that we are servicing, that we are supporting, that we are learning with, and we make this quite personalised. We make this, you know, it's not a set, well, it's just going to look like this and this is what you get. We've been so intentional. Feedback really helps drive what we're doing here and how that's giving the outcomes that schools are needing to chase down and want to chase down, and that teachers feel by that they too are being honoured in their learning journey.
The professional learning model is so important and working well because you've got a team working with it. And it adapts to what it needs to adapt to.
Yes, yeah. And we spend a lot of time between each workshop, between each session, doing a lot of talking. Even down to, and I'll add this in as well, because people, especially leaders, may be interested. Actually, in the last fortnight, I've also been able to, along with the principal consultant, meet with all of the principals and maybe their deputy or a teacher leader in the school to actually sit with them to consider and plan for their upcoming year or 3 years on their site improvement plan. So really driving down then what are the things that they are wanting to achieve and what improvement are they looking for,
mm-hmm.
You know, across literacy. So that is just another layer. Those principals are coming to the workshops, but then they've also had one-on-one or one-on with me and the principal consultant to, you know, to really consider the bigger picture pieces around how they are being supported to lead the literacy learning in their schools. And of course, this Be Brave and Be Fearless suite of workshops is part of that, driving that professional learning to meet those outcomes.
So this suite of workshops is going into its third year?
Yes, yes.
It's quite incredible.
I know.
And then individual schools might have extra support if they need it, but there will be definitely be these workshops that they send people to throughout the year. Seven workshops.
Yes.
In either one of those groups. Yep.
And may we just say that on top of this whole suite of literacy Be Brave workshops happening, this year a whole suite of Be Brave and Lead numeracy workshops started and will go into the Be Fearless and Lead. So this is learning across, and this is pedagogy across literacy and numeracy and people really being able to make connections and think about the learning and the practices and the principles that apply across these.
Thank you, Sharon, for that wrap-up on Be Brave.
Yes.
Now, we're going to be brave and go into today's topic because it's about what we call it, In Search of an Effective Literacy Program. The struggle for teachers is that they wonder what are the attributes of an effective literacy program.
Yeah, and we might let people know that this podcast has stemmed from a previous podcast where we sort of ended by talking about how to be sort of critical and mindful of things that are coming at us. And I'm pretty sure I kept using that word thing.
You did. Yeah.
Whereas today we're using the word program.
Yep. There's a lot of programs out there and a lot that people can access. And they vary in expense. Some can be quite expensive. You know, you have to commit year after year and every child's got to have certain materials. And so with that expense, with that range of programs out there, it becomes a bit of a question as to which one is effective. You know, why are we choosing them? You know, what? And we're going to explore the questions you would ask about them.
Proceeding this podcast, this is a conversation we've really been engaging in together for a long time. We're giving it a bit of a crack today, trying to pull some of those thoughts and ideas and questions together and trying to capture some of that thinking that we've been doing around it. So it's probably going to be quite rambly because it's a continuing conversation for us, but it's also when a program's being offered or we're thinking about that we want to give some perspectives on that. And I guess I want to catch before I lose this thought, so people don't think that we're saying you have to be in search of a program here. What we're really saying is it's about being aware of what programs are offering and not thinking of programs of, well, it's this or that.
Yeah,
that it's part of, we see that we make decisions based on students and needs and what we as teacher need, but we don't see that it's just a one thing. Here I am again using that word thing, that it's either this thing or that thing. We sort of see all of this as building repertoires of, there may be some parts of programs that are useful to us in particular ways.
It's not a polarized decision here. The big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not one or the other.
Yeah.
It's you as the professional, that the whole thing of being in front of your class and saying, I have noticed.
Yes.
And because you've noticed this, this is what we're going to look at today.
I just want to say, Phil, you are so good at summarizing.
Thank you.
Yeah, because, you know, I go on the ramble and I love when you can pull that back together like that.
But
thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. I did, in my brainstorming, I came up with some struggles that I have seen out there. There are mixed messages out there which creates confusion outside the profession as well.
There are mixed messages. Yes, I agree.
We often are not sure whom to look for the right advice.
Yes, or whom to look to. Yes. Yeah.
Teachers may be asked to use a program, but they find it's not catering for their learners.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Many leaders want a universal solution that's going to fix everything.
Which, of course, then begs the question, what are we fixing?
Yes. Then our Australian curriculum through ACARA needs to be covered. And how does that relate to the programs we're using, if we're using programs?
Yes.
And what are some better questions we can ask about the approaches we are currently using?
Approaches or programs?
No, let's say both.
Nice.
We hope in our discussion some of those might be answered.
And we have been there over all these years of teaching. And when we talk about what's the teaching struggle, we are always talking about what has been in our experience as teachers, both past and what we experience currently.
I must say, as a young teacher, being sent up to the far north to teach at a little one-teacher school.
Far north of South Australia.
15 children in the school, ranging from reception through to year eight.
Yeah.
With that range of learning and the content to be covered and that group, that was kind of a challenge where I thought, you know, where do I start here?
Yes, and what program do I use?
Yeah.
Like, did you think that?
I did. I was looking for any answer that would help me, and I didn't really have another teacher in the school. I was the only one.
Yeah.
I was the bus driver and the cleaner. And
and here's the thing. Did you find a universal program?
No, I didn't.
Right. I think we knew that was coming.
Yep.
Yes.
So where do we start with all this, Sharon? Yep.
In that one podcast, we sort of really just off the top of my head, I was thinking about, you know, how do you critique a program? I was in about my fifth year of teaching when I started postgraduate studies in literature and learning. So our lecturer said, all right, if you have a program that you're using, you need to ask yourselves these questions. Now, I don't remember what those questions were, but I'm pretty sure that those things that I talked about in the, you know, in critiquing them in that last podcast were the things, like I held tight to those things because I thought, oh my goodness, I have never been critical of what I'm bringing in. I'm really just, and I suppose as a young teacher, it was about survival. But it was the best thing that I could be asked was to be critical of what am I bringing in. Number one, what am I looking for? And then number two, be critical. So what is it that I can do that I don't need a program for? What professional learning do I need before I jump for a program? Because that's actually a key question. Are we investing in programs or are we investing in professional learning? And I think that's a really good question to ask of ourselves as teachers because we are in the business of learning.
So is that an either or? Like it's this or that?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
Yep.
And I think some programs, sometimes we call them programs, but they're actually approaches and there is a pedagogy behind them.
Yep.
And it isn't a script that goes with it. It's a way of working that has a lot to teach us. That gives us tools as a teacher. That gives us, but it's the pedagogy. We really want to know what is this saying to us about how we believe students learn.
I had this pedagogy that I was gradually developing as my experience grew, and I would question bringing that program in according to that pedagogy.
Yes, yeah.
And that put me in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Rather than any program out there being in the driver's seat. Yes,
because you had a lens.
Yeah.
You had a lens for saying what does this resource or this approach or this program, what does it believe about students and their learning?
Mm, mm.
And so I've actually just made a little connection here after all these years, Phil.
Is this an aha moment?
Probably only an aha for me.
Right.
Because I don't think it's going to be useful to anyone else. But I do just want to say that I remember when – so I was in that phase at that time being asked to be critical of what you are using.
Yep.
And how you are presenting that to children, da, 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 da. And it was at that time that I saw you first present your principles of learning.
Oh, right.
And it was...
Well, they weren't mine.
No, they weren't yours, but you were presenting a workshop on how Garth Boomer's principles really informed not just your literacy teaching, but all of your teaching.
Yeah, what I was doing with technology, with computers.
In maths, in literacy, in science, that it was transferable.
Yep.
And so that for me was that, you know, where I thought, ah, I can talk pedagogy with somebody.
Mm. Mm.
I can talk. I oh, see
by the way, we also talk about other things.
Yeah, we do. Not a lot, but...
So you saw that and you thought, I can transfer it across the different subject areas?
Yes. Well, I made that immediate connection then too, because I suppose I was being questioned about that in literacy, like be critical in literacy.
Mm.
And then because I saw you talking about how you were transferring it across learning areas, that was an aha for me. I thought, oh, look at that.
Mm.
What, you know, I need to be asking the same questions about my maths teaching, my science teaching, my everything.
Mm.
And all of a sudden it made teaching just that bit more wondrous. It made it where I wasn't then in search of a book or a program to help me. It was about let me chase down those who believe that this is how children learn, or that,
and then what resources are they using?
Yes, yes.
Was that about? That's what it was about.
Yes, that's exactly what it was about.
Or which people were they listening to?
Yes, yes. You
know, what conference? What conferences were they going to?
And what research were they reading?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose for both of us, that has been such a strong lens.
Yep.
For us, through
and putting us in the driver's seat.
Yes. Yeah.
To make the choices.
In our classrooms. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So, of course, that's led us to actually go exploring a lot of people. So, and that was one of your questions about to whom do we look for advice?
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to have a place where you know you're going to find some good advice.
And what's going to work. Now, I must say, our overriding document in all this is the Australian curriculum.
Yes.
And we keep going back to that.
Yes.
And that has wonderful content and pedagogy within it. We've come to the end of part one of our podcast, In Search of an Effective Literacy Program. Stay tuned for next week when we tackle part two. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To make sure you don't miss any literacy learning tips and insights, please subscribe to our show on your favourite podcast player. At Q Learning, our literacy specialists draw on over 30 years of teaching and international consulting experience to deliver world-class learning solutions. We equip, empower, and support teachers to become their authentic selves. To find out about upcoming webinars and about how Q can help you and your school, visit qlearning.com.au. And you can get even more amazing teaching resources right now at teachific.com.au. Stay tuned.